Hello. Ah, now that I've got your attention, I'd like a quick word about how Cambridge 105 Radio is funded. Our job is to give a voice to those groups who may not otherwise be heard. That may be our support for local music or the charity of the month. You're wanting to know how you can help, aren't you? Well, you can support our advertisers. And when you use their services, say you heard about them on Cambridge 105 Radio. And you can make a donation. It all goes towards our upkeep. We're eco-friendly, but we do have a bit of an electricity bill. Visit cambridge105.co.uk and click on the donate button. And thank you for listening.
Yes, I still do theatre, actually, and I'm still very active with my local drama group up in Ely.
Oh, right.
I think those days were when I lived in Cambridge.
Yes.
And I think even then, there was an urge to write. I wrote lyrics for songs, I wrote short stories. In fact, during the 80s, I actually entered a couple of short story competitions. And while I didn't win anything, I got sort of encouraged. I got a highly commended for a ghost story that I wrote back in about 1986 or 7. And I started thinking, I'm going to write novels now. And I tried very hard, but I wanted to write horror stories, and I tried a detective story, and I just failed miserably. I just couldn't work out the plots. I couldn't get the excitement and that of someone like Stephen King or James Herbert or Colin Dexter. So I kind of gave up. I wrote a couple of plays, and then about 10 years ago, I just directed Full Monty with our local drama group. Wanted to do something different because that was quite a challenging music. It was my directorial debut. And I decided to enrol in my local art group. So I started painting. I'd never done painting before. I'd never drawn. I didn't do that at school. So I enrolled in the local art group and started painting. And about 5 years later, I did a painting of an apple core, with a load of fairies flying around. It's sort of a fantasy art. And I was trying out a new technique with inks. And I posted on Facebook. And a number of my family, my nieces, my nephew, and my own children all sort of got in touch on Facebook and said, "You used to tell us all these stories when we were kids. Why don't you write stories about that?"
How interesting, because you were talking about wanting to write, but actually it was these paintings and drawings that actually got you into the writing that you're doing now.
Because I'd never considered children's stories.
No.
I'd never considered writing for that genre. And I kind of dismissed it at first and thought nothing of it. And then over the next few months, this was probably mid-2014, and the idea sort of sparked, and it kept coming back to me. I used to work away from home a lot, so I spent a lot of time in hotel bars and that, sitting on my own. And I'd be sitting there, and suddenly ideas would come, and eventually I started sort of jotting down notes. Mm-hmm. To a point where, at the beginning of 2015, I actually published on Facebook my New Year's resolution: I'm going to write a children's book. And that was my resolution. I published it, therefore I was committed.
Yes. And very brave, isn't it? Yeah, foolhardy.
It was probably stupid at the time. But I then spent 2016, and that was, you know, I had to get it done by the end of 2015.
Yes.
And that was my challenge. And I set about doing it, and I actually got into a real discipline.
Gosh.
Sitting in hotel bars.
So you were still working at
that
time?
I was still
time.
Working, yeah.
Right.
I only gave up work back end of last year. So
okay.
So the first two books were actually written basically in bars and pubs over a beer and a burger. But so 2015, I wrote and I illustrated, because I wanted to illustrate them as well, because, you know, there was pulling on my two strengths, really, of what I was then capable of doing. And it was very much a fairy thing. So I came up with the idea of Tales from the Enchanted Forest as the series.
Yes.
And I developed the characters, and I played with the characters of who they were going to be. And I was always a big, big fan as a child of Enid Blyton, you know, the famous five, the secret seven. So there are two boys, two girls, and a dog. They're brothers and sisters. Both the girls are friends. Both the boys are friends, and they're brother and sister of each other. Mm-hmm. The boys don't play with the girls, actually, most of the time. The girls go off on their own fairy adventures, because fairies aren't for boys, so they go off and do fishing and football and stuff. At the end of 2015, I hadn't quite done it.
Right.
But I was very close. I'd actually finished all the stories and I was just tidying up some pictures. So into beginning of 2017, I was just preparing it. And early March, I actually published. I published on Kindle initially.
Okay, so that's doing it yourself, really,
yeah.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, it was Amazon actually do a Kindle Direct Publishing.
Right.
They tell you how to do it, how to format it, lay it out.
Okay.
And that was in colour. So I had all the pictures in colour. And that's what took me actually a long time, was producing all the pictures. And there were, in the first book, there were about 70-odd pictures, all in colour, all carefully inked in and looked beautiful. And I published it on Amazon and it looked great. And then I thought, well, then I saw there was an opportunity to do a paperback version of it.
Yeah.
And then my first stumbling block occurred, because in order to publish it in paperback in colour would cost me about £20 per copy.
Crikey.
And I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to do that, because I can't afford
it.
Nobody would buy
a
paperback. They would expect to pay £7 or £8 for paperback.
Yeah, for a child.
So no way was I going to do that. So I redid all the pictures in black and white.
Oh, I see.
Photoshop is a very good program from that point of view to turn everything black and white.
That's
so I didn't...
still a lot of work, isn't it? Gosh.
Well, it was a lot of work. I mean, it took me best part of another month to redo everything.
Yes.
And then I resubmitted it back into Amazon through another part of Amazon called CreateSpace.
Okay.
And they do print on demand. So
right.
I then, by April, I then had a paperback version. Put it on. I advertised it on Facebook, on LinkedIn, you know, and all of the thing, Pinterest, all the social media that I could think of that I knew that I was part of, and people bought it, which was quite exciting.
Mm.
And people started leaving 5-star reviews, and I was quite chuffed about that. And I didn't know all of them.
You'd run out of your family.
I knew
by
some
then.
Of them, but I didn't know all of them, and. I also then bought a box for myself.
Yes.
And started selling them on the local market and stuff. And I sold about 300 copies in the year, and during which time I'd started the next book.
I was going to say, how do you manage to balance the sort of going out to markets and doing all of that, but actually then having the... Because it's all that work goes into the initial idea, doesn't it? But you've now got to keep it going.
Well, that's right. Now I have an ideas book at home.
Oh, okay.
So it's an A4, hardback A4 book, spiral bound.
Yes.
And anybody can write in it.
Oh, okay.
So it's there for my family, whatever.
Right.
And they can make just a one-liner. But everything, every story I then, you know, have to take from that, I then have to sort of think, right, what's the basis for the story?
Yes.
What's going to go wrong?
Yes.
How are they going to resolve it?
So you do a sort of storyboard of how this...
Post-it notes were a brilliant invention. So, yes, I have a block of wood, a large block of wood at home that I just stick post-it notes. So when I come to do the book, and I'm currently writing my third book at the moment, I first of all start with what's the rough idea. I then work out the ending, and then I start working back from the ending to try and work out the beginning and how it's all going to progress. So post-it notes, different colours, and post-it notes, of course, you can move all around
about,
the place,
yes.
Which is fantastic,
yes.
because then you know, it just creates the story.
And are you very strict with yourself about it? Because you're not working...
I gave up work end of September last year.
Oh, gosh, that's very new.
Principally
then.
To concentrate on writing. The first... sort of couple of months was really kicking off the muddy boots from the point of view of I'd worked for 40 years.
Yes.
You know, and I was so focused on work, and I had to get that out of my system.
Yes.
So there was quite a while to actually get work out of the system. And then I had jobs to do and the thing. I had to clear the garage out, you know, all of that stuff.
That's the standard thing that you do when you finish.
Exactly.
That.
So
yes.
I made it, but I talked to my wife and said, January... I'm going to have a discipline. I must write for at least 2 hours a day.
So now you're in a sort of writing regime.
Yeah. That's now, it. I write for at least 2 hours a day.
Yes.
Sometimes I just throw it all away. But I have now just completed chapter 3 of the new book, so it's going to be about 10 or 12 chapters.
I mean, it's really exciting, isn't it? Because, I mean, it was such a change, but to be able to develop something that was a sort of nagging away there and a bit of a hobby into something that's actually been productive.
Yes.
And they're beautiful. I mean, I looked at them on the internet, and here they are, for the listeners, sitting in front of me, and they are beautiful to look at.
Thank you.
And where can our listeners get hold of them? That's the
crucial thing. Well, Amazon is the main place.
Yes. I'm
not going to be doing any markets during winter because being paperback books and a lot
thing.
Of rain, it doesn't do it a lot of good. So I'll be back on my Ely market probably sort of early summer.
Yes.
But I don't do them every week. I did a lot of craft fairs running up to Christmas as well, and they were good. The Christmas fairs.
So for our listeners, then, if you're interested, local author, and they are beautiful, and there will be more coming. That's the crucial thing. But go on to our great friend Amazon, and there they will be. I looked this morning, and 5-star reviews.
Yes, thank you. and there's a colouring book as well.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful thing to have an activity book to go with them.
Yeah, and I shall probably do another one of those this year as well. So hopefully 2 books this year.
Brilliant.
One book and one colouring book. The second book was called Brownie Pack Holiday. Mm-hmm. I did research into brownies. My wife used to be a brownie pack leader. So I got a lot of good and useful information on that. The book I'm writing at the moment is The Tooth Fairy, but it's also the children are back at school. So the first 2 books, they're in their summer holiday.
Right.
But this is the autumn term now, so they're back at school. And I've been visiting schools because the children are in year 3, so beginning of key stage 2.
Yes.
So I've been doing some research. I've been into a few schools, talked to a few year 3 teachers.
Yes.
and getting some information about how the classes work, which actually aren't all that different to what they were when I was a kid, but it's just slightly more modern. They've gone on from blackboard and chalk to interactive whiteboards and computers.
Absolutely.
But apart from that, I think the stuff that they learn is pretty much the same.
I mean, the main thing is that a real copy of a real book in hand is still something that children like and parents like for reading and sitting down and sharing.
It's a lovely thing. And you know, I'm at the moment writing to schools, local schools, to offer to go in and read a story or
That's
talk
wonderful.
About
Well, I'll
talk
be signing
about
you
writing
up for mine
stuff.
Then. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me. And as I say, listeners, I'll put more information on our website so that you can find the books yourselves.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.